Good morning and welcome to ICANN's new GTLDs and Mitigating Malicious Conduct webinar. My name is Hayley Laff from Boys and I'll be your moderator for today. Today's session will last for about an hour, approximately 45 minutes for presentations and 15 minutes for questions and answers at the end. During the course of the webinar, questions may be submitted using the Q&A function of Adobe Connect, which you'll find in the lower left-hand corner of your screen. Should we run out of time or if you have any additional questions after the session, please send them via email to securitywebinar@icann.org no later than October the 9th, 2009. You may also choose to submit your questions via the Overarching Issues Wiki. You will find the address on the new GTLD site and in the original webinar invitation. Please note that there will be no individual responses to emails. All questions and answers received will be posted early in November on the new GTLD's Overarching Issues Wiki. This session is being recorded and you will be able to download it from the new GTLD website in early October. Today's speakers are Dr. Greg Rattray. He's the Chief Internet Security Advisor for ICANN, where he manages ICANN's corporate security, business continuity, and risk management programs, as well as ICANN's broader security, stability, and resiliency efforts for the Internet's unique identifier systems. He's a retired United States Air Force officer with a PhD from the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy, Tufts University, a Master's of Public Policy from the JFK School of Government, Harvard University, and a Bachelor of Science degree from the U.S. Air Force Academy. David Geiser is Senior Director of Contractual Compliance and is responsible for the strategic leadership and continuing development of ICANN's Global Contract Compliance Program. David is an active member of the Ethics and Compliance Officer Association and various state bar associations in the United States. He has served as an elected local government official in Illinois and on the board of directors for various charitable organizations. He holds a Juris Doctorate degree from the John Marshall Law School in Chicago, Illinois, and a Bachelor of Science degree in Commerce with a double major in Management and Finance from DePaul University in Chicago. We will now start the webinar with Dr. Greg Rattray.
Good morning, everybody. As Haley introduced me, my name's Greg Rattray. I do have a little bit of a cold, so if I cough in the middle of this, I apologize in advance for that. The presentation this morning really has two basic parts. I will go over the process and the broader set of mitigation measures that we will be proposing related to the mitigating malicious conduct. And then David Geiser, our Senior Director for Compliance, will discuss more of the specifics that relate to the proposed high security zone designation program that will be coming out. With that, I am going to move to the first slide of the presentation. And initially, I want to talk through, you know, the process through which we came to these proposed mitigation measures. This slide, you know, outlines the basic steps. This really began, you know, as a result of the feedback we got on Draft Applicant Guidebook Version 2 and the identification of four overarching issues, of which dealing with malicious conduct was one. After the Mexico City meeting this past spring, you know, we basically reached out to a series of expert groups. I'm going to go into more detail on those groups on the next slide. And through an interaction with those groups, as well as the opening up of a, you know, public page on for comments and a series of consultations, which again I'll give you the specifics on that. You know, we received a lot of comment, and after we received that comment, we've basically come up with the solutions that we'll describe during the webinar this morning. Those have now developed into draft positions, as well as an explanatory memoranda, which will be accompanying the forthcoming draft applicant guidebook related to the specific issue of malicious conduct. In addition to the explanatory memorandum, we will also be putting out a concept paper on the high security zone designation program. Expectation has been through the process for the entire, you know, new GTLD, moving forward on new GTLDs, is to iterate this through public comment. So I think you know, as David and I discussed this morning, this is really the start of the process in terms of, you know, feedback on the specific, you know, mitigation measures that will deal with the issue of malicious conduct. I did want to comment briefly here on this process has gone on in parallel with the efforts related to, you know, trademark protection and the IRT. It was run as a separate but, you know, process, though in many of the public consultations we actually dealt with the IRT recommendations and proposed measures and then quickly moved into the issues related to malicious conduct and what we might do about malicious conduct. The difference from the IRT is, you know, we have not tabled up till this point a specific set of solutions as we are doing now. So, you know, we did not have an outside group formulate these solutions. These solutions were basically staff working with the input of the expert groups and the community writ large and tabling the proposals that you'll see in front of you today. Moving to the next slide. So quickly, and I don't think we need to spend a lot of time here, you know, we had a wide variety of inputs on, you know, what we needed to be concerned with related to malicious conduct as well as, you know, potential mitigation measures that might be put in place. Certainly, the comments we had on the first version, the first two versions of the applicant guidebook, we had a limited amount of comment come in on the wiki page that has been associated with the overarching issues. The ESSAC has issued a number of reports that certainly deal with aspects of registry and registrar operations to address the issues related to malicious conduct. And many of you may have been present at different of the public consultations that we ran at the Sydney ICANN meeting, as well as the dedicated sessions that occurred during July in New York and London. And then, you know, we also worked specifically with a set of communities listed on this slide and had really some very deep input from the Anti-Phishing Working Group, usually referred to as the APWG, the Registry Internet Safety Group, also known as the RISG. We've been interacting and continue to interact with the broader computer incident response community to include the discussions at the Global Forum for Incident Response and Security Teams. This is the group known as FIRST, as well as having different members of the CERT community provide inputs. And then finally, a series of interactions with banking and finance associations. I won't decompose all the acronyms listed there, the four major, you know, banking and finance organizations listed on the slide. And if anybody has specific questions, we can certainly go into which groups participated. You know, moving to the next slide and getting into the actual, you know, substance of what we've identified as key issues and how we're going to address them, we felt like the most effective way to categorize the issues as well as to design remediation measures was to group them in these four categories identified here. We'll just quickly go over those categories. The first one being, how do we ensure that bad actors, and in this case we're really talking about individuals and we'll get into the specifics there, are actually not responsible for the operation of registries. The second was, how do we ensure integrity and utility of registry information, and in this case we're talking about utility in terms of being able to address the issues related to malicious conduct, particularly, you know, disabling the creation of things like phishing sites, as well as ensure that those who respond to malicious conduct are able to get the information they need. C is, how do we ensure more focused efforts on combating identified abuse. And then finally, and this is where David will take over the presentation, how do we provide an enhanced control framework for TLDs, which we believe will have an intrinsic potential for abuse. And, you know, front and center of that is financially related, you know, TLDs that may have the potential for or will be a likely target for those who currently seek to conduct fraud and other sorts of activities that leverage the domain name system. So moving to the first category of specific mitigation steps, you know, we do want to increase the degree of vetting in the, you know, as we bring on new registry operators in the new GTLD process. So what will be proposed is, you know, that ICANN will have the, you know, right to deny otherwise qualified applicants for a number of reasons, which are listed here on the slide. And there's specific language that deals with basically the applicant, an officer, director, or manager, you know, in any other entity owning over 15%, to get specific about the actual type of personnel or entity that would be vetted, and the types of activities they may have been involved with that constitute financial misconduct or fraud, and it's necessary we can get into some of the specifics that are going to be tabled related to those criteria, as well as, you know, history related to bad behavior on cyber squatting or violations of previous violations of ICANN contractual requirements, as well as involvement in the UDRP process, all being criteria by which the operators of a proposed new GTLD registry would be vetted. We are at the start of, you know, trying to get our hands around the fact that certainly prior criminal conduct of a yet-to-be-defined nature, and that's going to be the challenge and one we'll want to engage with the community on, certainly also should be a bar to an applicant being approved. And we plan to work. We don't have specific criteria laid out, but work with the community on what those criteria would be. But at the end of the day, you know, these measures are designed to ensure that we do not end up basically having a registry that is enabling malicious conduct. Moving to the next slide, here's where a specific set of more technical requirements or measures are proposed in terms of ensuring that registry data has integrity. The first one, I believe, you know, most in the community know we are in a phase where at the root level, you know, ICANN is working with VeriSign and NTIA in order to ensure the root zone is signed for DNSSEC deployment. We will require DNSSEC deployment as part of the operations that a new GTLD registry must have in place when it starts up operationally. And as part of the application, an implementation plan will be required as part of a new GTLD application. You know, there are a wide variety of benefits to DNSSEC deployment. I don't plan to go into them in detail here. They certainly, DNSSEC is a strong measure to stop cache poisoning, a major vulnerability in the DNS that was identified, highlighted publicly last summer, as well as leverage the authentication provided by DNSSEC for a wide variety of security applications. The second one at the registry data integrity issue is a prohibition on wildcarding. This is based on the SAC recommendation in the recent ICANN board resolution at the Sydney meeting. This prohibition will apply to all DNS zone files maintained by the registry operator. And the rationale here is there's a broad set of rationales that the SAC has provided related to the fact that wildcarding is something that ICANN should not permit, but specifically, to malicious conduct. While currently not a mainstream attack vector, this prohibition does remove the opportunity for the technique to be used to misdirect traffic to malicious sites that would enable fraud or the downloading of malware. Finally, the Anti-Phishing Working Group provided a pretty specific recommendation related to what's known as orphan glue records, or basically as a, you know, as a domain name is removed from the zone, that there can remain portions of that record in the registry data, and that actually there are known cases in APWG's analysis, 3% of phishing activity occurs leveraging these orphan glue records. So we are going to require a plan for the removal of orphan glue records as part of what a new GTLD registry must put in its application. So again, the bottom line is we are at a technical level seeking to reduce the opportunity for malicious actors to mislead users. Moving to the third broad category of mitigation steps, understanding, of course, that as we create new GTLD registries, that you know those who currently try to abuse the system will continue to do so, and that those who react and respond to those activities will also have to do this in the new GTLD space, that we need to be able to enable response. So, again, excuse me for the cough. Basically, in conjunction with the recommendations made by the IRT for the utility of having a thick who is, and understanding there are limits to who is data as an investigatory tool, we believe this step will also be useful. This recommendation was made both by the APWG and the CERT Computer Emergency Response Community as a useful step in terms of enabling their activities in response to malicious conduct. The second recommendation, and this one we understand will probably be one that we will have a lot of dialogue on, is the Any Phishing Working Group strongly felt like it was important to create centralization of zone file access. Their rationale was strongly that responders right now need to work with individual registries and create a set of personal relationships in order to get the types of information they need to do the technical analysis in their response. And as the new GTLD set of registries is stood up, and if the number begins to get large, that there would be a scalability issue related to being able to get the right sort of data in order to analyze, the nature of the activity that was going on. And therefore, in the draft applicant guidebook, we do have a language to the effect that if ICANN or a designee establishes a central file depository, that the registry operator will provide all zone file data to ICANN or a third-party operator designated by ICANN in order to, facilitate a number of things, to include, the ability of the response community to get details in a timely fashion. The slides are moving around on me, and I am going to move back to the slide that I was just on. So we are now on the third bullet, which is requiring registry-level abuse contacts and documented abuse policies. So here there is going to be a requirement that in the contract or the draft contract that is part of the draft applicant guidebook, that registries will have a designated abuse contact. Additionally, that as part of the application, a plan for, that the applicant will be required to have a abuse policy that will be part of the application. This is in line with the Registry Internet Safety Group's recommended approach on the issue. We are not outlining any specific approach to an anti-abuse policy, but we are going to require that each applicant have an anti-abuse policy documented as part of their application. And then finally on this slide, many may be aware, but many may not, that we've been in the process of developing something called an expedited registry security request process. This process allows for registries to seek expedited decisions on the part of ICANN related to urgent security matters. It's been developed in response to the events surrounding the Conficker worm that have been dealt with over the last 6 months, that the initial contact with that worm went through a phase where the where certain registry operators, you know, sought decisions from ICANN to allow them to take steps to combat that malicious activity. We believe that that has been the expedited registry security request process has been developed in conjunction with the registry constituency and will be posted for public comment. We believe this is ICANN, again, enabling, in this case, the registries, you know, to quickly act in response to malicious conduct. I will note this is not going to be a provision of the draft applicant guidebook. This is really a step that ICANN's taking to enable relief to registries, not a requirement of registries. Again, we think in total these steps enable access to information and ensure, you know, documented processes for responses, which will enable the response community to more effectively deal with that malicious conduct that may occur within this space. And we strongly believe that these steps will make this space actually a place where activities, you know, malicious conduct activities will be more difficult on the part of those who might try to conduct them. So with that, I'm going to turn the call over to David Giza, the Senior Director for Compliance. And he's going to talk about the High Security Zone Designation Program. I'll also, before I turn it over to David, remind participants that they can submit questions in the text window at the bottom of their Adobe Connect window. So with that, over to you, David.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning, everybody. And I'd like to take the opportunity today to introduce the concept of a new high security zones designation program. And some people may ask, you know, based on the title, exactly what is that? And so I'm going to take you through a series of slides this morning that are going to essentially talk about the following components of this program. First of all, we're going to look at the drivers or the reasons behind the program. Then there's going to be a brief overview of the program. I am going to focus some time on the key principles that are driving this program, and then we'll do a little bit of a deeper dive into some specific program elements, a wrap-up around next steps, and then leaving plenty of time for questions for both Greg and myself. And so again, you know, starting off here, what we want to do is provide an introduction to this concept of a high security zone designation program. And essentially what we're looking at here is a certification or verification type program that I think many of you have experienced already online if you've used software or other tools that have been either certified or verified through providers like WebTrust. And so as we began the process of thinking through how this particular program could serve as a constructive tool to address online fraud and malicious abuse, we started essentially by reviewing a variety of public comments that ICANN had received with regard to new GTLD security and compliance issues. And all of those comments were essentially provided to us, you know, as we've gone through multiple versions of the new GTLD program applicant guidebook. But our thinking here was to listen to what the community is saying, and then to work constructively to develop a concept that we can share with the community going forward. And so the way in which we intend to do that is to essentially introduce the program today, and then as we move forward, ICANN will be forming a working group, another working group, to specifically help formulate and provide clarity around the criteria for this program, the application of this program, and ultimately the results that we hope to achieve. And I think that's important because, as you'll hear in a moment, this is a voluntary program. It's not mandatory, and I'll speak a little bit around why it's voluntary at this point in time, but we think it's a good first step in beginning to address what we believe is essentially, you know, areas where we're going to find intrinsic, you know, abuse of the domain system. So when we thought about this, we thought about what is really the key element driving this type of program. And our thinking here is that it's a question of trust. It's a question of trust placed in designated TLDs, That can be new TLDs or that could be existing TLDs. But because the program is voluntary, we think that registry operators and associated registrars will make a business decision to choose to opt in or simply remain out of this program based on criteria that they believe creates a sustainable business advantage for their company by participating in this program. But clearly, trust is what's driving this. Trust so that end users, registered name holders, registrants, trust in the structure and the format of the program will hopefully allow end users, again, to feel that when they access a new high security zone TLD, that there is this greater level of trust and security present as they utilize that site on the web. And so then finally, we have clearly a toolbox that we're constructing. And so I've been working with the security team, our compliance team, and other teams inside of ICANN to build a toolbox that our new gTLD program manager can use very proactively and very effectively as we launch the new gTLD program and address fraud and malicious abuse in domain name system. So again, at a very high level, what I'd like you to take away from this is that we're listening to the community and we're beginning this process of building the tools that we think will constructively address online fraud and malicious abuse in the future. When we go to the next slide, here I'd like to highlight sort of the key components of the program and how this started. And it really started around the notion of creating a common set of standards, policies, internal controls for new gTLD security and operational purposes. Now, all of these items are bundled at the moment inside of a draft concept paper that will be released with the next version of the applicant guidebook. And so I'm going to take you through some examples of what you'll see in that document later this month. But again, our focus here has been on procedures, processes, and controls that literally form the framework or the structure of a voluntary certification-type program that registries and registrars can elect to participate in. So why use policies, why use processes, why use operational controls? Clearly because we think those are the best tools to address this potential for malicious abuse. And in fact, many registries and registrars today already have a very strong internal control framework in place. And so in those instances, if those registries and associated registrars choose to participate in this program, they're basically just essentially designating or validating the existing control framework that, again, gives them that sustainable competitive advantage in the marketplace. We chose to make this a voluntary program, recognizing that we're so early in the process now that we don't actually know which particular strings will want to avail themselves of this program. But we do have some indicators at the moment that clearly the financial sector, the insurance sector, the utility grid sector, and other sectors in the market could benefit from having this type of designation program in place. We certainly believe that registries who already have specific security measures would want to voluntarily designate or certify under this program, again, for purposes of establishing that competitive advantage in the market. And then as we thought about how this program ought to be applied, we realized that at the moment we're keeping the program separate and distinct from the new gTLD application and scoring process. That may change depending on the input, feedback, and guidance of the working group, but again, we're making this essentially a voluntary effort that the community can embrace or otherwise direct us to change through the efforts of the working group. And so, in a nutshell, we believe that that registries and their associated registrars will have an opportunity under this program to really showcase and demonstrate their commitment to establishing and maintaining effective security and operational internal controls, controls that will really drive, I think, a much higher level of participation in the domain system around the new GTLDs, and ultimately should create a level of benefit for registrants and others. If we go to the next slide, let's focus here on the three key principles in this designation program. And you'll see that I've bolded in each bullet kind of the key message. And the key message here in the first bullet is that a registry who chooses to participate in the program is essentially verifying or validating that they have an effective internal control structure that does what? It ensures that their core IT functions are authorized, accurate, and performed in a timely manner, which, in fact, I believe many registries do today. But having that level of designation or verification behind those key IT functions provides, again, an enhanced level of trust for the domain name system users who are fearful that online fraud and malicious abuse could continue if it's not abated through perhaps this voluntary program. The second key driver here was really, again, a focus on a registry establishing or maintaining effective controls to ensure that their core business functions, the functions that literally drive their day-to-day operations, are, again, authorized, accurate, and performed in a timely manner. And I'll provide a few examples here with respect to each one of these bullets in just a moment. And then finally, the third key principle is a focus on the registry where they can demonstrate, again, voluntarily, that they have effective internal controls that identify their associated participating registrars and registrants who have elected to support this program. So what does all that mean? Well, what that means is that the concept paper had to essentially do a drill down or deep dive into elements of a certification type program that we believe represent a starting point. And again, today is an introduction, and actually, when you see the concept paper, I think you'll be able to understand just how much work has already been placed around the notion of a designation program. But starting off with objectives, then I'll talk a bit about the assessment methods that are foreseeable under this program. I'll chat a bit about the preparation and training and remediation work that ICANN could provide in terms of assistance to registries that elect to participate in this program. We've thought quite a bit about the type of governance model that we ought to deploy for this voluntary program, and I'll share with you a few of those thoughts. And then we'll spend just a few moments here on some administrative practices inside of ICANN that will be necessary to support this program and our efforts in this regard. So let me go back here for a second. Rather than show you the slide, let me talk to you more specifically at this point about the objectives. And so if we start with the notion that this program represents a significant business opportunity, for new and existing GTLD registries and their registrars to step up the level of security and operational controls that are available in the domain name space, that results in, again, enhanced level of trust and demonstrates for the benefit of the public that registries and associated registrars have state-of-the-art and or best-in-class internal controls running in their business. And so what does that mean in terms of this program? Well, the concept behind the designation program is really to provide this direct business benefit for registrants. So, for example, if we had a .bank site, this designation program would allow any second-level site to advertise to their customers that the .bank site is the trusted site for their bank, and it can be found at that address. Clearly, we think this would be an attractive option in the marketplace, and that would result in financial benefits, we believe, for GTLD registries from both increased control and trust from consumers, and would help to avoid any regulatory pressure or regulatory requirements that might be foisted upon the domain name system were this program not implemented as a way to combat malicious abuse and fraud. And if we spend a few minutes here on the assessment methods, the assessment methods are really tied to these three key principles. And so the first principle, validating core IT functions, it literally creates criteria around three areas: registry IT infrastructure security, registry IT infrastructure availability, and then finally, how confidential and sensitive data is handled or managed by registries. So, for example, registry IT infrastructure, the concept paper identifies potential controls such as a security management plan, physical access controls, media storage and disposal controls, network security controls, and finally, perhaps application security controls. When you look at a second type of core IT function, such as infrastructure availability, examples of acceptable controls that you'll see in the concept paper are service level agreements, WHOIS accuracy controls, registration and transaction data controls. And these are all controls that registries and associated registrars have voluntarily adopted as part of their successful business models. And then finally, here on the notion of confidentiality and privacy around sensitive data, an example of an acceptable control would be the appropriate classification of confidential or personally identifiable information. There's clearly data collection, use, retention, access, and disclosure policies that many registries and registrars have today. And clearly, encryption requirements, again, represent another form of an acceptable control that could be certified and or verified under this designation program. The second principle involves core business functions. And here, I think there are really just three key areas again. Registry credentials that are made available to ICANN that help us verify the identity of the GTLD operator. As Greg indicated, background checks on principals. Verifiable business and contact information. Evidence of financial stability. Second bullet point, registry data processing. The controls that are basically applied for consistent and correct application, such as domain name registration and maintenance processes, WHOIS accuracy processes and controls, and then registrar and registrant data quality reviews. The third principle involves the identity of participating registrants and registrars. And here what you'll see in the concept paper is really a focus around two areas: registrar data processing integrity, and then registrant identity, which would be verified, prior to domain name activation. And so the assessment methods, in order to deploy the program, would require what we're referring to as point-in-time readiness assessments. That could occur before or after a GTLD is in operation. And that assessment, that point-in-time readiness assessment, would be performed by an assessor. That would be a third party. That would not be ICANN. ICANN would essentially sponsor this program, but ICANN would not be responsible for assessing registry and registrar compliance with the program. That would happen through the actions of a third party that would then provide the evidence or data to ICANN for purposes of ICANN then enabling a registry or associated registrars as being designated under this program. But there will also be periodic assessments, which really are more like audits of a registry and an associated registrar's performance level under the program. And that's in order for both registries and registrars to remain designated for one or more years under the program, thereby receiving an accreditation-type seal from ICANN that would ultimately, again, provide evidence that could be used for sustainable competitive business advantage. So with those preliminary types of assessment methods, we realize that we have a long road to travel to make this program a reality. And in doing that, we believe that ICANN's key role will be to help the community prepare for this program, help train the community around the program, and then also help to facilitate any remediation work required under the program. And so what you'll see coming forward through the efforts of ICANN and the working group that we're forming will be various forms of documentation and information that'll provide supporting guidance to registries and registrars on topics such as how to develop a successful framework that would be validated or certified under the program. We would develop FAQs around the scope and the boundary of this designation program. We would also provide assistance around interpreting some of the requirements and processes of the program that have been highlighted today and also in the concept paper. And we'd also be in a position to help prepare some advisories and best practice documents, guidelines, much like you would see with WebTrust and others, to help deploy and implement the program. And so I think at the end of the day, what that would lead to is a very active governance body. And the governance body for this program will be formed by ICANN with input, constructive input from the working group. And we anticipate that registries and registrars and other interested parties from the community will want to have a role in that working group to ensure the success of this voluntary program. And then finally, ICANN is going to have to deploy a very robust document management system in order to develop the administrative capabilities to begin to track and monitor and then report on the number of registries and associated registrars who have chosen to participate in this program so that we can make all of that information available and transparent to the community so that people can essentially understand and begin to rate the overall effectiveness and success of this program. And so next steps, and this is my last slide, we're publishing the concept paper with the next version of the applicant guidebook. You'll see that very shortly. We believe that this program is going to require continuous development, modification, and improvement. We're looking to the working group to provide the kind of guidance, support, and help to make this program as effective as it can be for the benefit of the global Internet community. This working group will be formed, we hope, very shortly. We'll be soliciting input from prospective members prior to Seoul. We'll be talking about this program in Seoul, and we'll be putting together the charter for the working group, again, where we believe we can get guidance and support around some of the control criteria that we're proposing, some of the processes and timelines that we're proposing. We think the working group will really have a huge hand in making this program successful. And then finally, we'll continue to report on our progress to the community through ICANN's global meetings. And that wraps up my portion of the presentation. And so what I'd like to do now is turn it back to Greg, and we'll take some questions on what you've heard today.
So prior to me, this is Greg Rattray speaking. I'm going to let Haley, as the moderator, make a couple of administrative notes.
Thank you, Greg. Okay, this is just to remind participants that you can still submit questions in the text window at the bottom of Adobe Connect. Also, for the late participants, links to the slides and audio stream will be posted on the ICANN website within a couple of days. Okay, to get to the questions then, we've had several come in, and we're only going to do a portion of them here. So the first one to Greg is, will these measures be in the third version of the draft applicant guidebook?
So the answer to that is simple. The answer is yes. These are measures that are in the draft of the draft applicant guidebook, and we intend to publish that within the next week. So for those measures that we've discussed today, yes. A point of clarification, the expedited registry security request process is not part of the draft applicant guidebook. Again, that is something that registries will be able to seek relief from ICANN on, so not a draft applicant guidebook. And then, as David just mentioned, the designation program is something separate from the application process. It is a voluntary program, so a separate concept paper will be published along with the draft applicant guidebook.
Okay, next question. It's actually in two parts. Will primary involvement in the UDRP be an issue in backgrounds? And also, what if I won in UDRP? Does that still count against me?
Related to the use of information on prior involvement with the UDRP, we see that just as one of a number of pieces of information related to understanding the background of the individuals and organizations involved with an application. So the answer is yes, that will be an issue in backgrounds. If you won, you know, that means that the issue was resolved and that won't be held as a negative criteria. But again, the UDRP information will be one of a number of pieces of information related to background checks on applicants.
Okay, another one for Greg. Who recommended the program of centralized zone file access, APWG or an APWG member?
So I need to make an important clarification. This is useful in terms of we received that recommendation through a number of individual sources. So among those individuals was the principal person who works with APWG and had been our interface with them on terms of their formal input, but that the centralized zone file access was not a formal recommendation of the anti-phishing working group Internet policy, you know, committee as a whole. So I need to clarify that so it's not mischaracterized as an input. The individual whose name is Rod Rasmussen, many of you may know Rod, as well as others from the law enforcement community and the National Cyber Forensics Training Academy, all made a very similar recommendation to us that in terms of our first responder or responder to malicious conduct, there was a scalability issue related to the number of new GTLDs and about the utility of a centralized zone file access from their perspective as responders in order to get the data they needed to analyze specific situations.
Okay, how does ICANN anticipate supporting registries in imposing controls on resellers?
So in terms of resellers and controls, in part, you know, this is where the new designation program will be more those zones who decide that they need to seek a higher security trust level, that there will be criteria related to the activities of resellers. For the broader set of new GTLDs, the issues related to resellers are not directly addressed in the material that will be in the new draft applicant guidebook. As many on the call, maybe most on the call, are aware, there is certainly an active discussion related to RAA, you know, enhancements or amendments. There is a distinction between what can be dealt with as part of the new GTLD effort in the draft applicant guidebook and what are broader policy issues for ICANN in the policy development process within ICANN. That issue, you know, for the broader set of GTLDs, you know, is being handled in a separate forum.
Will there be a requirement for a rapid takedown procedure for domains involved in phishing?
So rapid takedown is a label that connotates a number of things in different people's minds. We are not going to specify a rapid takedown process that all new GTLD registries must put in effect for their own operations or require of associated registrars. Again, the criteria that are being considered as part of the designation program, you know, our current concept do get deeper into the specifics and the, you know, the basic time frames and speed at which the application of a process to deal with an identified malicious conduct activity take place. What we do have in the general, you know, set of remediation measures is the requirement for every new GTLD applicant to specify what their anti-abuse policy is, and that would include if they were to have a rapid takedown process specifying how that process will work. But there's not a mandated rapid takedown process in the new app or in the draft applicant guidebook version 3.
Thank you, Greg. Okay, now going over to David in relation to the high security zone designation program. First question is, how does an organization or individual get on this working group?
Best way to get on the working group is to contact me directly at ICANN. That's david.giza@icann.org. For the moment, I'm the person who is accountable, responsible, and in charge of the program, and I would welcome emails or other expressions of interest from anyone in the community who would like to serve on the working group.
Okay. How will the final criteria for this program be decided?
Final criteria will be decided with input and feedback from the working group. We envision that the working group will be very strategic as well as tactical, and that working group should provide the kind of clarity around the program that I think many of you are going to be looking for based on some of the comments I see coming in today. So I view the working group as instrumental to the success of this program and would encourage those who are interested in participating in that working group to reach out to me.
Okay, final question. Will the criteria be uniform for all TLD seeking designation, or will they vary by geographical region, community, etc.? And will the same criteria be used in evaluating dot credit as dot billing?
What we're attempting to do is develop criteria that can be applied using the 80-20 rule. And so we do believe that 80% of this criteria that the working group helps us establish will be applicable across the various domains that choose to participate in this program. But there will be, we believe, some customization required for the insurance industry versus the healthcare industry versus the utility industry. And those individual specific customizations will occur, again, with the help of the working group. But our goal is to get this 80-20 rule in place and then begin to develop consistency around how the voluntary high security zones designation program is deployed.
Okay, I have one more question. Will there be additional costs or fees for this program?
The short answer is yes. We anticipate there will be, and at the moment we're not certain exactly how those fees will be structured or how they'll be essentially collected. We're actually looking to the working group to help us identify the best possible solution for minimizing both application fees as well as assessment and review fees in order to maximize the impact of the program, thereby making it financially available and reasonable for all who choose to participate.
Okay, I think that's it. I would like to thank everybody for your time today, and we hope you enjoyed our webinar. If you still have any questions that we were unable to address, then please send them to the securitywebinar@icann.org email address no later than October the 9th, or you can submit them via the Overarching Issues Wiki. Just to remind you, this session was recorded and will be available shortly on the new GTLD site in early October. Thank you again for your time, and we hope to see you soon either at the ICANN Seoul meeting in November or virtually at another of our webinars. Thank you and have a nice day. Bye-bye.